better about the whole thing until we're straightforward and completely honest with everyone who comes to us in regard to the subject, we shall not make the progress that we should make. I know that there are many sincere people who are endeavouring to do this in their own fashion, in their own way, and there are many difficulties. But until mediums can stand up in front of the public and say, I don't see a thing, I don't hear anything, I'm sorry, and sit down, I'm sure that the audience, the people concerned, are going to be much more, have much more regard and respect for the medium than listen to a lot of nonsense. And with physical mediumship, of course, there are many complexities that I've already said, and one has to try, as best one may, to guard against them. One has to build within oneself, as much as one can, a protective wall. Mediumship can be on many, many levels. And now another thing that people say, oh well, physical mediumship's on a very low level. This is utter nonsense. I've never heard such nonsense in my life when people say this. And this often is said by so-called experienced persons, because anyone who sat at some of the sittings that I have been fortunate enough to be in the medium and heard some of the communicating entities and the flow of language and the things which they've had to say to us, and some of which have been tape recorded, is so wonderful and so beautiful that it's impossible to explain or express this in words. The thing is that people invariably get what they deserve or what they create. So that's another thing. People that come to sit with them, that go to sit with a medium, that come to me, for instance, they bring their own vibrations, they bring their own conditions. If they are on a low level themselves, then it's very wrong to blame the medium if that communication is on a very similar level to themselves. You do get, unfortunately, in spiritualism, a lot of people who assume that if they sit with a medium, whether it's a voice medium or any other kind of medium, that the medium will answer all their material problems, tell them whether they should sell their business or their shop or change their shares or all sorts of things of this nature. I'm not saying this is necessarily bad, don't misunderstand me. We are all human. And if a person can be advised or guided in some way which will bless them, then I'm all for that. But there are, unfortunately, a lot of people who are attracted to spiritualism who see it as a form of fortune telling. And I've had people come to me who have been in touch with her husband, for instance, and one has been given the impression by their attitude that they love their husband, that their whole idea of wanting to come and have a sitting was to get in touch because they love their husband so much. But no longer has the poor so-and-so got through, what am I going to do about so-and-so? Do you think I should sell those shares? And what did you do about so-and-so? They're not thinking for one moment about how the man is getting on and is he progressing and who has he met. As soon as they hear that he comes through, you will sometimes get a person who will bombard them. Of course, it has its funny side too. And that's another thing. If you want to be a medium, the most important factor, apart from patience, I think, is a sense of humour. Because it's very, very necessary. And sometimes in sittings, they're not necessarily always sad, of course. Sometimes they're writers. Sometimes they can be so darn funny and amusing that really it's been absolutely wonderful to have sat there and listened to the repartee and the amusing incidents of the discuss. And it can be a very joyful thing, as it should be, of course. Communication is a joyful thing. Of course, there are cases where perhaps someone will come through and the whole atmosphere is pregnant with emotion and it's very sad, but it's also a joyful sadness, of course. Anyway, perhaps you'd like to hear some tapes and give me a chance to get my breath back. And then I'll talk a little longer and then I'll try and answer a few questions. I've heard the voices. I do apologise for the recordings. It's not my friend's fault, it's my good friend. Obviously, the recordings probably don't give full justice. But what I'd like to say is, I'm not so heated as I was. What I'd like to say is that, now you've listened to the voices. Of course, these voices, in a sense, have nothing to do with you. I mean, you don't know the people concerned. You've heard the difference. Voices, the different people, the different personalities, and the last man, Ted Butler, who was killed, just an ordinary man. Now these voices in themselves, I don't present them to you as evidence of survival. It would be very wrong of me to expect that you would necessarily be convinced by listening to the tapes. They are used as an illustration of what one might expect in a sound such as mine. These are naturally, and quite rightly, chosen specifically for this purpose to demonstrate to you, because the personalities are so strong, and you have the ability, the opportunity rather, to hear five or six different personalities, different temperaments, different types, and you can thereby see for yourself how different people are that come through, totally unlike myself. Of course, it's always open to suggestion. People will always make remarks and form opinions. And one of the obvious things people have said over the years is that I assume these voices. I assume these personalities. Well, I can only say that if I could do that, I wouldn't be standing here giving my services, talking to you like this. I would probably have made a fortune in the theatre or something like that. I remember years ago when B. Lilly sat with me, and afterwards, the first time she ever sat with me, she said, "Well, Mr. Flint," she said, "I find all this tremendously sort of interesting, but all I can say is that if you could put on a show like that, you'd do much better than the theatre." Which is perfectly true. I mean, anyone's common sense would tell one that if one could conduct something like this, assuming all these different people, different voices, different temperaments, different accents and what have you, obviously one wouldn't waste one's time by being a medium. I don't mean waste one's time, because I don't think I do, but I mean, of course, that one would certainly be much better financially in a theatre or in some other form of business. Of course, then again, even if one were to say, "Oh, well, it is possible for you to do that," how are you going to account for what the voices say? Now, there's nobody, I can't imagine anyone would be in a position to not only reproduce the voice of somebody who died perhaps 30 or 40 years ago,